Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello.
What's going on, Kenny?
Oh, nothing much. How you doing? Boy, you dodged a bullet there, didn't
did
you?
Did I not? Saw a lot of people tweet me yesterday. Oh yeah. You getting the resume all polished off? I'm like, why? You didn't hear the audio. You didn't know exactly what the loophole was.
I was shocked.
Slippery Wizard always has a way out.
Yes, he does. He left himself. Now I got to. Well, there was a couple things I'm wondering here. Now, because there was a bunch of people. If you got that audio, go ahead and fire it again. Because Freddie Kitchens is the. Well, it's supposed to be. Even the Browns have announced nothing. They have announced absolutely nothing, by the way. It's only league sources, but they're firing all the other coaches. So you'd assume, with the exception of a couple, so you'd assume that Freddie Kitchens is going to get the job, and we're operating as if Freddie Kitchens is the next head coach, the 21st head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
I remember them doing this show in Indy last year for Josh McDaniels.
So,
how'd that work out?
Don't start. Do not. Not today. No. So we're operating as if Freddie Kitchens is the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So unless something changes, that's the way we'll act. Now, people started wondering, whoa, wait a minute. Does that mean the sports animal 93-1 Plattsburgh? We thought Lima would be the next head. Freddie Kitchens be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
I was pushing for afternoon drive big time.
And Anthony Lima be the new afternoon drive host in Oneonta, New York. However, let's hear the audio. If a new coach comes in and he has the whole NFL at his disposal and he goes, you know what, my offensive coordinator is Freddie Kitchens, what are you going to say, Anthony?
If he ends up getting the job, I'll give you all the credit in the world. I'll walk away from Cleveland. Offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator job. Although technically, I guess he still could be the OC.
Damn.
I don't know what they're doing. We haven't seen any kind of an announcement or report on that. But I think on the old, that plate, that nameplate right outside on the door.
What?
It ain't going to say offensive coordinator. It's going to say head coach. Freddie Kitchens is the head coach.
Yep. I mean, you're right.
Like, if they say.
Found a loophole.
All right, Freddie, what's your job with the Browns? You think he's going to say offensive coordinator? He's going to say head coach.
Yep, he's the head coach.
He's the head coach, and he's going to get paid.
Head coach de facto coordinator. And if it's that way, you're fine there too.
Oh, yeah, because de facto. We didn't say de facto.
I mean, de facto isn't in there. I mean, let's be serious. No, let's be serious. Now, if we're talking about a man's life here, about Anthony Lima.
Well, I mean, the whole idea here was that there was a new head coach, and he had everyone to choose from as his offensive coordinator. And if by chance he chose Freddie Kitchens, then you were going to leave Cleveland Radio. Listen to it one more time.
If a new coach comes in and he has the whole NFL at his disposal and he goes, you know what, my offensive coordinator is Freddie Kitchens, what are you going to say, Anthony?
If he ends up getting the job, I'll give you all the credit in the world. I'll walk away from Cleveland Radio.
Not the offensive. I mean, he might call plays. He's the head coach.
He's the head coach, Freddie Kitchens. What a run. What a freaking run by Freddie Kitchens.
What a life. What? Unbelievable.
He legitimately, forget about whether or not you think he should have been the hire, whether you think the Browns overreacted to an 8-game swing, or whether you think this was a great hire. This is an unbelievable story, is it not?
It is.
He defied every odd. And if this thing ends up working out he becomes the Super Bowl winning coach of the Browns and Baker Mayfield and they got the Lombardi Trophy, we're going to look back at the Hard Knocks video where he is the running backs coach in the room talking about Duke Johnson and whether he should be playing in training camp and in practices and in preseason games.
It didn't start during the season. It started on Hard Knocks for everybody. It started here.
The only thing, Coach, I'd say is when we talked about these people missing practice, I think it would help if, all right, I'm fine if Joe thinks that they need to take the day off, but can he be dressed and just put it on me that he won't get any reps.
Well, I think for the new coaches here, we're not taking guys out because they're special or anything like that. We're taking them out for preventative measures.
Yeah.
And normally the team has understood that.
Yeah, well, I understand there's a rhyme and reason for doing it.
Man, it's been Duke has had a history of pulling, and if we end up losing him or missing him, it doesn't help us. Guys, this is all for preventative measures. Nobody's trying to take anybody out and have been a problem.
Audio courtesy of HBO and NFL Films.
Why is Hugh Jackson sitting there defying the head coach, the next head coach of the Browns? Why is he not listening to Freddie Kitchens? No wonder he's out of a job. Bow down.
It's just so great. The video is just so good when you look back on it now. Because at first you're going, okay, the running, okay, he's bringing this up. All right. And now you're sitting there going, this guy is the next head coach of the Browns. He's standing. He's got the great big 24-ounce Speedway coffee. Bet he got the Speedy Rewards with it, too. Unpaid testimonial.
Oh, you think
right
that was
there.
A coffee? I was thinking that was a big gulp iced tea action going on.
He just likes to put it in the styrofoam cup. So he's got the big gulp coffee there, and he's bringing this up. And you know what? He don't want anybody being a sissy around his football team. And then he got Hugh. You know, there's a rhyme and reason for all this, and I'm sitting in this chair, and you
and I'm
peons.
Driving the bus.
Driving the bus.
That was then. This is now.
There is a if you're ton. Freddie Kitchens, if you're Freddie Kitchens, I'm sorry. If you're Freddie Kitchens, your first meeting has to be where you sit down and go, well, looks like I'm driving the bus now. Like, you have to sit in that chair and say something, don't you?
He has the Colin Coward chair. It's eight times the size of all the other chairs. It says, the view looks good from up here.
Looks like he's up there playing piano in a lounge for whatever reason. But
he's dressed up like Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners.
He puts a Polaroid of Hugh Jackson in one of the seats. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go around the room. Hugh Jackson. Oh, you're not here anymore.
This is so good. The honest folks, this sets up such a great thing. And now, just real quick, an aside. Today's a Freddie Kitchens day. You think I wanted Hugh Jackson to be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals before? Holy jeez. Do you not understand how badly I want him to be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals now? This is a rivalry. This is a rivalry. What Freddie Kitchens said in that press conference, remember when they brought him up to the dais and he spoke about that and defended Baker Mayfield and said what he said, and if they were to be head coaches against each other with Baker as the quarterback, holy God. And this is another thing, and people brought it up. They took it in somewhat of a negative tone. I know that there's some people across the country who are panning the selection. Their opinion's their opinion. Our opinion is ours. I'll let you fire off here in a second. What this is an early but an official, whether you're comfortable with it or not, nothing against Freddie at all. I like Freddie Kitchens, and I told you last week, I yelled at you, Anthony. I go, if you're holding him over about all this, well, just make him the head coach. Make him the head coach, and they did. This is the power handing off to Baker Mayfield. This is the franchise officially. It's all in, well, he's your franchise quarterback, and he's the most important guy, and all that's theorem and things like that. This is official. Where, folks, Freddie Kitchens is not the head coach if Tyrod Taylor was playing the entire year. He's not the head coach if Drew Stanton had to play. He's not the head coach if he was here last year. He's not the head coach of anything. It's because of how he works with Baker Mayfield. This is the decision, not where Baker was standing there and he made the ultimate decision. No, they got that all cleared up, and they said that the room made the decision. But don't think for a second that this decision isn't based purely on how this offense and how this football team operates with Baker Mayfield, because they didn't think that anybody else was going to come in and do this. Freddie Kitchens gets this job because of the work he did with your franchise quarterback. This is Peyton Manning level power, where every decision is ran basically through him, whether you think you're doing it or not. This is the franchise officially being handed over to him. If Tom Brady were to retire last year and they were to draft him in New England, they wouldn't have done this. If Bill Belichick would have retired and then they were looking for a head coach this year, they wouldn't have done this in New England. They wouldn't have done this in a lot of other organizations. This is where they've looked at Baker and said, you've answered every single challenge, which he has. You've answered the challenge of dealing with all this. your relationship is that close with Freddie Kitchens, you wouldn't want to mess up a good thing. So now Freddie Kitchens is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. This is Freddie Kitchens is the head coach. He's the guy who wears the hat. But this is a power handing off officially to your franchise, to your hopes, to your dreams, to Baker Mayfield.
Might be an acknowledgement that Baker's different from anybody else. And how is Baker different from anybody else?
That's true.
How many quarterbacks, 23 years old, have publicly feuded with three head coaches? With Hugh Jackson, with Cliff Kingsbury, and with Gary Patterson, mm-hmm. when that situation happened with the scholarship, the lack of a scholarship from TCU. Three coaches, by the way, three respected coaches. Cliff Kingsbury is a head coach in the NFL. Hugh Jackson was a respected head coach at one point and a respected quarterback guru and offensive play caller and schemer. And Gary Patterson, people respect the hell out of Gary Patterson and the job he's done at that program at TCU in college. Those are three respected coaches. He's feuded with three of them. Yeah. One of them he didn't even play for. So I think it speaks to how at times temperamental Baker can be.
Yeah.
And I think they didn't want to upset anything there. They didn't want to poke the beehive. They didn't want to do anything like that because of who Baker is, his mindset, and the type of just overall person he is.
The overarching factor here is trust. Baker is not going to listen to somebody he doesn't trust. He trusts Freddie Kitchens. I think Freddie Kitchens, obviously, part of the reason you give him the job is because he can tell him things and help him out. I think that, obviously, there is a rapport there. And I think that when we play the Hard Knocks cut, this goes back, and I brought this up again yesterday, Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson and the fights that they were having, where you had it to the point where Hugh Jackson's walking around the offices putting his ear up to the wall like he's listening for a herd coming down the train tracks over here, trying to listen into different conversations here. I mean, this is how ridiculous this got. So you're Baker Mayfield, and you know, man, this was going to be ridiculous, but I didn't know it was going to be this out of sorts here. And then you have a guy like Freddie Kitchens who has common sense. And my dealing in very limited, I mean, hallway stuff with Freddie Kitchens. He is a man of common sense. He seems to be a good man. He seems to be a guy who's basically interested in winning. Politics followed Hugh. Politics followed Todd Haley, no matter what we want to say about it. This is not political. This is about winning football games, starting with a good thing, and making this thing grow together. And it doesn't matter. Folks, you could bring in Gase, you could bring in McDaniels, you could bring in McCarthy. It all ends the same way. Either Baker Mayfield takes off and this team just does something that we have never seen in our lives as far as winning a Super Bowl or competing for a Super Bowl, or he sucks and everybody gets fired. McCarthy would end the same way. Everybody would end the same way. So we can bring up the power. Freddie's the head coach. But today, while it is Freddie's day, today is, how do we say it, where you anoint somebody that power? It's a coronation. This is the official, all right, you've passed a lot of tests. We're going to put all our eggs in your basket. You are the official leader of the franchise. Everything is you. As Peyton Manning is to the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos, as in an NFL sense, as LeBron James has been to the Cleveland Cavaliers, you are the guy. You are everything. That's it, and that's all. The line is in the sand. You're either with you or against you, and we're with you.
Well, look at what's going on in the NFL right now. Cliff Kingsbury, they were doing that in Arizona. They hired him for one reason, to somehow connect with Josh Rosen, who shows that he has talent but had a dismal year. Why did the Jets overnight, according to reports, just hire Adam Gase, despite a mutiny that was on the hands of his former team with the Miami Dolphins, because they want to make sure that Sam Darnold is taken care of. And so the Browns did not want to risk somebody else that would have stunted Baker Mayfield at all, and they think Freddie is going to continue on that trajectory with him. It was an interesting coaching search, trust me. It was a coaching search that had people like me kind of scratching their heads, I'll be honest. If you look, the Browns, did they talk to anybody else that got hired? Anybody, any of the interviews? They interviewed how many guys? Technically, six? It's six, seven. They never talked to McCarthy. Nobody else got hired. Freddie Kitchens never got another head coaching interview. So it was a very different type of process that John Dorsey put on.
Yeah.
Now, just because they didn't hire the big name, that doesn't mean it's destined to fail. It doesn't mean it's destined to work. No idea. I did say this week that, you know, the one bit of anxiety I had is Freddie Kitchens is going to make mistakes, and he's going to make mistakes on national television. He's going to make mistakes in big games.
Yeah.
Rookie mistakes. Every coach has rookie mistakes. He's going to make them in big spots, and fans are going to question those when it happens. There's going to be a botched challenge. There's going to be a wrong decision to either go for it or not, a two-point conversion. He's going to make all those mistakes. They're going to be on the biggest stage. They're going to be on Thursday night football, Sunday night football. They're going to be in the primetime game on Monday night. They're going to be at the 4 o'clock, 4:25 game on Sundays with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, where Romo's going, I don't know what Freddie Kitchens is doing. All that stuff will happen. The question is, will the Browns be better for it? Will the Browns continue on this trajectory? And I have no reason to believe that Baker Mayfield is going to just stop being good, that we're going to stop seeing the momentum that he established at the end of the year. And so it's exciting. But make no mistake, it is a huge risk. It definitely is a huge risk.
216-578-0092. Freddie Kitchens, your head coach. This is what a story this is. This is fabulous. This is absolutely fabulous. Freddie Kitchens, your head coach. How you feeling about it this morning? Are you excited? Are you hopeful for this? Obviously, you're hopeful for it. Are you excited for it? Are you nervous about it? You're allowed to be nervous about it. This is going to be a first-time head coach who has taken off like a rocket ship over the last couple of months and is now the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And where does Baker fit in all this? Where does John Dorsey fit in all this? And Jimmy Haslam has handed off that power to John Dorsey, where Freddie Kitchens isn't going to report directly to Jimmy Haslam. He's going to report directly to John Dorsey, or, you know, the way things ought to be.
That is huge.
216-578-0092. You, about last night, coming up next on The Fan.
So it will be Freddie Kitchens. At some point, we expect the Browns to make it official and have a corresponding press conference. Would that be today, Kenny? I saw rumors it could be at the stadium.
We'll see. What, the press conference?
Yeah,
or
there were rumors it could be there.
Selling tickets for it.
Cold in the stadium,
yeah,
man.
They have it outside.
Pack the house.
That's right.
They stand on the stage.
Comes out in a T-shirt.
This would be their ninth full-time head coach in the expansion era, but it also means Greg Williams is out. Now, we'll get to that at some point, but I thought yesterday one of the big tidbits about all this, Kitchens will report directly to John Dorsey, according to Mary Kay Cabot. That is a departure from the past. As we know, Hugh Jackson reported directly to Browns owner Jimmy Haslam. First of all, that's got to make you feel really good.
Yeah. God, yes. To actually have power and, well, the power structure the way it's supposed to be in terms of all these decisions. Now, I know, again, my theory, and it's always going to be the franchise quarterback is where the power lies, and eventually you're going to hand that off. I didn't realize it was just going to be this soon, going into his second season, his first offseason, that this is where this power was going to stand. But the Browns are in a situation like not a lot of other teams have been, and Baker Mayfield is a different type of quarterback, and he has answered every challenge that this team and the circumstances of this franchise have laid ahead of him. So I really work with confidence here, but this is an ultimate test. Freddie Kitchens, if you watch some of the national shows out there, like I watch PTI, boy, Mike Wilbon went crazy.
Oh, he wasn't alone
on this yesterday.
No.
And I'm thinking, this is an ultimate, this is the line in the sand. You're either with Baker and the Cleveland Browns, or you are against him. I think that excites a Browns fan. Chip on the shoulder? Mm. Nothing. Nobody has a chip on their shoulder quite like a Browns fan.
All right, what do you think about Greg Williams being out? I know we had so many Browns fans after every win say, my God, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Greg Williams, what coach has been able to have a winning record with the football team since 99? The answer is zero.
I wonder who'd be the defensive coordinator. There's a couple of names that are thrown out there, a couple of names that might be okay. You know, with Greg, I just feel as if this was a natural order. That if you're not going to make him the head coach, you can't really make him be an assistant again, because if things don't go well for the rookie head coach, do you think a 60-year-old Greg Williams, every guy is a control freak, every coach is a control freak. Don't tell me a coach isn't a control freak, including Freddie Kitchens. You're telling me he wouldn't? Well, I'd probably do it this way. I'd do it that way. It's only natural. It is only natural. So this was probably a natural split that it had to happen. I wouldn't even blame Freddie Kitchens for having that type of attitude either if they would have retained him and things weren't going to go so well here and there. Because you're bound to have a couple of valleys as the season goes on.
There were a ton of questions about Baker's involvement in the coaching search. In fact, there were a few stray reports out there yesterday that he was heavily involved, that there were FaceTime interviews with him and the coaches. That, according to Patrick McManaman of ESPN, he came on Bull and Fox yesterday and clarified.
I would never indicate, and I don't mean to indicate, and if I did indicate it, I take it back, that Baker had anything to do with the hire. I don't think he had any say in the hire. I just think it was part of a long, involved process, and I don't know how long those conversations were. I would guess they weren't too long at all.
Is that normal? Is that traditional, Kenny, for if the FaceTime thing is true, no reason to believe it's not. Is that normal? Would most teams do something like that
in the era
2019?
I want to know if they want to see maybe how they interacted. Does the guy act differently? Does the coach act differently when he knows Baker's on the phone call with everybody than he is with everybody else? Is that one of the things that are there? Listen, I didn't think that they should let Baker have a seat at the table, and I'm glad that they didn't. I think it's still, you're 23 years old.
You don't think he did?
As far as
you don't think he did have a seat at the table.
They made the decision with him in mind. Hearing that from Patrick McManaman, they made the decision with him in mind. That everybody's going to do that. But in terms of, hey, who do you want to be the head coach? Maybe they did, but if they made that decision based on it, I don't have a lot of confidence in it because I don't have a lot of confidence in that decision making because I think that it's, again, it's still too young. You don't know necessarily what you're getting into in a relationship when you're young. You got to have some experience first. And I don't know if he has that experience yet. So I think that you have to make the decision with him in mind. But from what I'm hearing from Patrick McManaman, and we'll see if it all comes out, that he did not have a seat at the table on the committee.
Well,
we'll get to everybody who was on the committee.
We'll get to plenty more, including whether or not any fans are upset that Greg Williams was unceremoniously shown the door. Adam Gase wasn't out of work long. The competent offensive mind, Kenny, will be coaching Sam Darnold and take over the Jets head coaching job. We know he went 23-25 in three seasons with the Dolphins. Peyton Manning was said to have helped seal the deal, selling the Jets org on the hire.
There's no way in hell you could add him here.
Why not?
There's no way. Because just what you just said, Peyton Manning. I don't know what you were going to ask. There's no way in hell that could have happened.
Why not?
Because Jimmy Haslam couldn't allow it. Because there is such a negative connotation. If they would have brought in Adam Gase, who by the way, and I admitted this to you before this entire thing started at the end of the season, Adam Gase will probably be, with a good quarterback, successful. He hasn't had a good quarterback in Miami. He had one run of healthy Ryan Tannehill, and they were a pretty decent team at that time. Other than that, it's been rough. Mm-hmm. So if you hand him Sam Darnold, get a little bit more talent in there, get that jet stink off of him, which will probably take a year, then they'll probably be a pretty good football team. But in this situation, with what's happened in the past, Jimmy Haslam is so cognizant of the fan base, so cognizant, he really is, of the connotation that surrounds him with him being involved in these decisions. You couldn't do it. You could not bring that guy in. With the Manning, with the talk, with the Haslam stuff, it's just impossible. He already would have started behind the eight ball with the fan base.
All right, some Indians news as we get closer to the trucks breaking ground, heading to spring training out in Arizona. Indians announcing their times and the broadcast schedules as they will open the year with a three-game set against the Twins at Target Field. That's March 28th to the 31st. I believe that's a Thursday to start the season. Then they will open things up at home April 1st against the White Sox. That's a Monday, 4:10 p.m. Also, nine nationally televised games, it looks like.
Nine?
Yes.
Hey, all right. Nine nationally televised Indians game. They got an F.
If you're counting FS1.
What was it? Sports Illustrated game an F?
An F? For what?
Their offseason.
What do you think Indians fans would give them?
Probably not high marks.
I think an F's probably a little ridiculous. I know they lost a lot. Of course, nobody was going to be mad.
Give him a D-plus like Tommy Callahan?
You know, all these people that are furious. What were you mad in the middle of the year when you were like, get rid of Cody Allen, Andrew Miller's washed up? Okay, well, both of them are gone. We knew Michael Brantley was never going to happen. Now, they did get rid of Yonder Alonso.
Furious is in the terms of
the Edwin
not
thing.
Adding or letting guys go?
Well, both.
I mean, I'm not furious. I just want to know what the plan is going to be. And I think a lot of people feel that there's more impending doom, so their initial reaction is to be angry.
Oh, that you think potentially Kluber could still get traded?
Oh, there's always a possibility. Anybody makes the right deal for him, yeah, then there's a possibility for that. It seems like out of nowhere, it'll go away, and then, hey, the Padres are really interested. Hey, the Nationals are really interested. Yeah. Hey, the Dodgers are interested again. So it keeps getting brought up.
All right, Cavs blew a 16-point lead to the Pelicans last night and dropped their 11th straight game, falling 140. They gave up 140 to 124. 81 points they gave up in the second half. Anthony Davis, 38 and 13. That was after the Cavs hit on their first eight threes and surged out to that lead. And now this little note from Chris Fedor. They will likely finish the season with the worst defense in NBA history, according to the defensive rating number. They thought they could compete for the eight seed this year.
Well, you know, I thought I could lose a bunch of weight at one point. We all think we could do things.
I think the good thing is, thank God, we are now we're now finished the halfway point of the season. I think last night was our 42nd game. So we can glide on into the sunset.
Did you, how much of that game did you watch last night?
Turned it off in the third. Yeah. Saw where it was going.
I saw the first quarter. The first quarter, I wanted to text you. I did text you something else, but I wanted to text you and go, "There's no, they're losing this game."
As soon as I saw Dully getting jobbed by the refs, I shut it off. I'm serious.
The risk is the longer they play Dully, the more of a chance they have to win games because Dully last night, 6 of 8. Like, there's no reason Dellavedova is not starting over Colin Sexton other than
Colin Sexton's
part of the future.
Yeah.
You know, if they were really trying to win games, Dully would be playing all the minutes.
Well, a lot, and Kid knows this. I mean, he's basically Billy Packer over there now, that when you go to New Orleans, you're not just playing against the Pelicans, you're playing against that atmosphere, and then you're playing against the refs. Notre Dame Stadium on a Saturday, forget about it. Compared to New Orleans?
They're getting no breaks.
The Aqua Velva Dome or wherever they play in? Come on.
That's it for about last night.
Fantastic. As always, my friend, coming up at 7:25, the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, will join us. We'll talk about Bronson, Freddie Kitchens with him. Cold hard cash, your chance to win $1,000 in the national contest at 7:03. Coming up next, your thoughts on Freddie Kitchens. And it's nice to hire Freddie Kitchens. Got to say, kind of sucks to lose Greg Williams, though. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyme on the Fan. Freddie Kitchens, baby. You got something over there? No? Okay. I thought you were going to say
it's
something about Freddie Kitchens.
The Ken Carmen Show with David Lee Roth.
Freddie Kitchens, baby. And he is the head coach. He's not the offensive coordinator. He might be calling plays, but he's the head coach. So Tone Master ain't going anywhere. The slippery wizard.
Loophole
lineup. Let me ask you, last week, Kenny, you said you wouldn't want him calling plays. Have you changed your mind on that? Because that's why you're hiring him, are you not?
I haven't changed my mind on that. I would be more comfortable.
So the one thing everybody said he did really well is the one thing you'd hired him, but you don't want him to do.
Because he's the head coach of the football team. And I just be, okay, first off.
No, I'm genuinely asking. I'm not crushing you.
What did you just say? Yes, you did. You told everybody in the world I contradicted myself.
No, you.
216-578.
You didn't contradict yourself. You said you did.
I'm just going to blow your argument out of the water.
Not trying to make you sound like an idiot, even though you sound like an idiot.
Thank you. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm saying that you said last week during the process that, man, if they ended up hiring Freddie Kitchens, you know, as a first year head coach, someone who's never done anything like this before, someone who's never even been a full time offensive coordinator before, now having to call plays that is too much on his plate. And I think, by the way, others might agree with you. What I'm saying is, that's what dazzled. That was the one thing about him that everybody said, man, look at the way he calls plays.
Sure.
You had guys like Brian Baldinger and all the film study guys say, well, we haven't seen stuff like this.
It's the first thing, though, that people attack when things aren't going very well. You know that? It's the very first thing. When things weren't going, when Ben McAdoo got bumped up, it was the first thing they went after. And Ben McAdoo proved to not be ready for that job. I don't want to have to do that with Freddie Kitchens. So it's something that concerns me. Now, if they bring in a well-known defensive coordinator, a name got thrown around last night, my buddy Late Atkins, which I hope his wife's doing better and I hope he's doing well. Jack Del Rio got thrown out there, which I know people hate him because of the Raiders thing and hate him because of the Jacksonville thing. He's been a good defensive coordinator before, been a good defensive coach before. If you were to bring in a guy and say, this guy's going to be in charge of the defense, and Freddie Kitchens we can do this whole deal like they do. You wanted the Rams stuff. You're going to get the Rams stuff. All right, maybe that'll make me feel a little bit better. I'm still going to be nervous. Doesn't mean that I didn't think Freddie Kitchens is garbage whatsoever. Told you last week, if you're going to keep him this long, might as well make him the head coach. And they've made him the head coach. But, yeah, I can't go back on it now and say it doesn't concern me just because I actually hired Freddie Kitchens. It will concern me. It will concern me into the season because the first thing that people see, I think about it in terms, and this is probably wrong, but I think about it in terms of what we do. if a play doesn't work, we're going to get called about it on Monday going, what the hell were they doing on 3rd and 11? Why do you get cute? They're up by 6. What are you doing? Just run the ball, get out of there and punt. What are you doing getting cute? The people will go after you for stuff like that. So if he's calling plays, that's the first thing they'll go after in a loss. Then there's no buffer there. There's no other person. There's no fall guy. It's just Freddie Kitchens, and they'll go after him. I like Freddie Kitchens. I want him to get a fair shake. And with a rookie quarterback or going into his second year with still a young team that now is going to have a ton of expectations, it's going to make me a little nervous. It does cause me for concern.
One of the things you got upset with me about when I said, well, it's one thing to call plays when you're the interim OC and the Browns were pretty much, they were close to being mathematically eliminated almost the entire final 5 games of the year. It was under 5%, I think, most of the time for them to get in the playoffs. So I said at the time, well, I don't know about that, because I said it's one thing to call plays when nothing seemingly is on the line for the team. You were never expected to really have the job. Nobody was expecting Freddie Kitchens to get anything when he was hired, yeah, OC or head coach. Now, do you think it's going to look any different? Or do you think we're still going to see Jarvis Landry throwing bombs? Do you think we're still going to see all these crazy sets going for it on all the fourth downs?
If you pull that out, if you pull those or put those stop signs in, I guess, well, now he's calling plays differently. He's got a lot on his plate. He's a head coach.
Hugh Jackson definitely did.
Yeah.
He definitely called plays differently.
He did because he was terrified of the talent that he did not have, which he did not have a bunch of talent. I have to say that on his regard, even though I don't like him. He did have that. So I think that, again, if things aren't going well, because you're gonna have a stretch, you're going to lose a couple games. And that's immediately going to be the criticism of him. So there's a couple of things that I'm going to have to work out for myself. One, he's head coach of a football team, and even though I really like the guy, I think he's a good dude, I'm going to have to get used to criticizing him because he's the head coach of the football team.
Sure.
The other part of it is that I want him to be on the right step. And I still have those fears of hearing damn Pat Shurmur in them press conferences talking about calling plays and you can run it and you can throw it and all that stupidity that it sounded like. And we're killing him for it every single day, where, again, it's a results business. Either the play either worked or the play didn't work. And if you call the play and it works, you look like a genius. If you call the play and it doesn't work, you end up like John DeFilippo. So I get nervous about those type of scenarios. 216-578-0092. Let's get to Lewis and Shaker. He's been on hold for a while. He's first up on the Fan. Hello, Lewis.
Ken, yeah, you're back in the saddle. Good to have you back.
It's good to be with you.
I like to hire, and you guys know I was a Williams person. But, you know, to me, it's still, you know, it's not, you know, it's not broke, don't fix it, because you still retain Kitchens. It's unfortunate you had to let Williams go, so you still got a part of the team that experienced that, you know, incredible turnaround from last year. So, and plus, you know, he's already established, you know, some sort of camaraderie with Baker Mayfield. So, you know, I love the hire. You know, I think he's going to do well, but it's one thing that bothers me. There's no honeymoon phase. You got to go 10-6.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And that's the pressure that's on him.
Yeah.
And one more thing. Two more things. I would love for us to get C.J. Mosley, and I already made a bet with the people in Pittsburgh, $50, that our record is going to be better than theirs next year. So go Browns.
Ooh, strong. Lewis, thank you very much for the call. You were right on a lot of it. Mike in Geneva. Well, I agree. It doesn't matter if you were right. Mike in Geneva, you're next up on the Fan.
I absolutely love the hire, and I want him to call the play. He's the offensive guy. Let him run the offense the way he wants it. You look at every offensive-minded head coach in the league, they all call their own plays, but then they also have an offensive coordinator. We need to make sure Freddie has someone that kind of helps him lighten the load. So during, like, the preparation of the week, he's not fully overindulged in the offense, kind of like how Hugh was. Because you look at Sean McVay, he has his own run game coordinator and pass game coordinator. The only offensive-minded coach I think that doesn't have an OC is Bill O'Brien. But everyone else, they all have someone that's going to help them. Freddie should call his own plays, establish what he wants, and maybe down the road he kind of gives up the play-calling duties to the OC when he can fully trust the guy.
Yeah, Mike, I think a lot of people are going to agree with you today. It just, I just get nervous because are you going to call me and say the same thing if some of those plays don't work out and they end up losing 14-7? In week 5 of next season? You going to do that? You going to defend him for it?
I think it would defend him. Everyone should. Okay. He's a first-time head coach. He's going to have his hiccups.
we have to prepare. He's a very green coach, so he's going to have his growing pains. But that's one thing I like about a young coach. We're going to go through that and develop as a team. So then 3-4 years on the road, when Baker's hitting his stride, well, Freddie Kitchens going to be hitting his stride.
You're being very pragmatic about it, Mike, and thank you very much for the call. I think it's different now.
Here's what's really different.
We say things differently in January than we do in October.
Here's what's really different. If you look at what Kingsbury is walking into in Arizona, if you look at what Adam Gase could be walking into with Sam Darnold of the Jets, even though that is New York, the expectations are kind of muted. It's not about the playoffs for those two situations. Here, for Freddie, there's going to be no time for wiggle room and adjusting to chemistry or any of that. It's going to be, hey, pick up right where you left off, and you better, because you better get to 10 wins, because 9 wins doesn't guarantee the postseason.
Mike's giving him time. It's amazing. Lewis says no. You got to get those wins now. Mike's like, oh, you know, you develop into the role. I don't think you'd get that time. You don't get that time. You got to hit the ground running.
But the Browns will get skewered out there making rookie mistakes and they're losing games and you know, hovering around 500 when Baker Mayfield by himself last year almost made the playoffs.
If you want to do it tomorrow, hey, what's your expectations for this team next year? Because if your expectations are playoffs and it's not a hope, that's going to put a hell of a lot of pressure on Freddie Kitchens next year. Let's get to Jason in Cleveland. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jason.
Listen, excuse my voice, a little raspy, Cleveland weather. Yeah, this is way too much responsibility for Freddie Kitchens. Big mistake. We should be beyond the experimental phase. We should be moving into the, we need to shore up the ship. They should have hired a Bruce Arians or Mike McCarthy, somebody who, established a known play caller and head coach. We need somebody, who for sure is going to get us going in the right direction. It's Freddie Kitchens. I don't know if that, I think it might be a little too much for him. I think John Dorsey was just spooked on the whole, he may leave idea and, kind of jumped the gun prematurely.
Well,
without doing due diligence.
With McCarthy, I think, again, there's going to be a trust issue. I think this is going to go back to Baker. This is going to spin back around to Baker. If there's a trust issue there, and I wonder if there is, and God, I know Les said some things about keeping Freddie. Possibly you're right about that, Jason. The other thing with Arians, all right, Bruce is going to be 67 next year, right? Freddie Kitchens is 44, going on 45, maybe somewhere in there, somewhere in that territory. All right, well, do you get a guy who's from that tree? Because Bruce Arians loves Freddie Kitchens, Jason.
Okay. I understand. I understand. It's just I'm nervous about Freddie. He's going from an OC, from running back coach with OC to like I said, he hasn't even been OC for the full season, and now we're just gonna just throw him in under the gun, as the head coach. And like I said, at a time like now, when this is like our, we got to make it or break it season. Yeah. We don't have time to play around anymore.
It's a strong move.
We got to do it now.
Jason, thank you very much for the call. It's a strong move. You can't. There is no honeymoon phase. You're right about that, Anthony. None next year. And this is a move. This is not Freddie Kitchens again. This is a big thing, big day for him. This is a move based on Baker Mayfield. This is not a move based on anybody else. If anybody else was the quarterback of this football team, save a couple of guys who are among the elite of the NFL, if any one of these other Browns quarterbacks have ever would have been the quarterback of this football team over the last 8 games, we ain't talking about Freddie Kitchens. Ain't talking about Freddie Kitchens whatsoever. He's just another one of those names that get fired yesterday. That's all he is. Let's be serious. So this is based on Baker trusts him. He does have a good relationship. He can call plays. What I say is not a slight to Freddie. This is a bet on Baker Mayfield. 216-578-0092.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.